Welcome back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're talking about almost entirely about Cindy's French culinary heroes, but I want to get to time in Paris, a more casual time in Paris. And as we were joking about the French dining slogans, you know, liberté, égalité, frivolité, you
right.
know, a place that's just like flat out fun.
Fun,
you're gonna,
right.
You're going to have that one of the glass of wine and take the long walk back to your hotel,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
So did you visit any of those places on this last trip?
I did. I cannot stay away from Benoit. And again, I think we've been eating there for
Benoit's a pretty jazzy
yeah.
for a casual restaurant. I think it's a one star. That's a really nice one, but it's a happy place.
Yeah, Alain Ducasse took it over a number of years ago. It had been in the same family from the beginning, and you know, we ate there shortly after he took it over, and you know, that's all good. But within the last couple of years, it has become absolutely brilliant, and I love the restaurant. It feels like a bistro. It has lace curtains. It has lots of brass.
It still looks like the original iteration. I mean, it was built in 1905, right. and you know, the first time going there was almost 20 years ago. And yeah, I mean, it feels absolutely the same.
Absolutely. And some of the same waiters have been there for 20 years again. And I know two of the maitre d's now. And, you know, the somme knows my name. And I love that. There again, you know, to sit there by yourself and have dinner and, you know, have a great conversation with the somme about the wine and the maitre d' comes over. I mean, it makes you feel so good when you're traveling that way. And I was a little surprised at the amount of American people that were in there. And they did put us all together, which does happen sometimes because when I'm in France, I want to hear French speaking people. That is how I learn to speak more French by kind of, well, I guess that's called eavesdropping. But
glad you called yourself
mostly,
out.
Mostly I just like to be around the language and hear it. And, you know, that restaurant is amazing. They make the best escargot. And I know you'll argue with me on this because you have a restaurant that you like the escargot better, but their escargot is brilliant, and they have a dish that's sweetbreads with...
You're talking about the sauté royal with the coxcombs
yeah,
and the sweetbreads
right,
and the
little crayfish. Little bit of pasta and crawfish, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it comes in a little copper yeah. pot. It is so delicious.
It's
gorgeous.
A very, very modern dish. It's about 1840.
1840. It's a good year.
It's literally a play on Carême's, you know, most famous dish.
It's so good. And I always have fish there. They typically have sole, and one of their dishes that they often have on is sole stuffed with spinach, and it has an amazing, almost like a vin blanc sauce. And you know, they celebrate the seasons too. So when I was there the last time, I was there in the spring, or the time before this in the spring, and had asparagus with a truffle mousseline that was one of the best asparagus dishes I'd ever had in my life. So it's just a wonderful, beautiful, cozy, amazing little restaurant. And I would warn you, if you do go to the restaurant, that it is on a walking street. So if you're taking a taxi or you're taking the metro, you're going to end up on close to the Rue de Rivoli, and you're going to have to walk. So you
it's
do
just,
have to look for it a little bit.
It's just two blocks from where they would drop you, and it's
yeah.
it's Rue Saint-Martin. It's
Rue Saint-Martin.
One Rue Saint-Martin.
Right.
Pretty close to the Pompidou Center.
Yeah.
But how about even more? You mentioned one time there was a Bistro du Sommelier that you went to.
Oh, I love that restaurant.
That you loved, right?
Well, he's famous. He's a famous somme.
That's in the 8th arrondissement.
Yes. It's on Haussmann, Boulevard Haussmann. And again, a very cozy little tiny restaurant. Absolutely make a reservation. They're going to talk to you all you want about wine. Super, super knowledgeable. Amazing list. Amazing things by the glass. So if you just want to taste something and don't want to get a bunch of bottles, you can see the little kitchen, a tiny kitchen. You can see right in this window into the kitchen from some of the tables. And I had some really, really great food there. I would highly suggest that.
Short menu, real serious.
Right.
You know, real serious snacks.
And one of the my favorite museums is on that street as well. So, I mean, that's kind of a great thing to go to the museum and then hop across the street and have dinner there. One of my other favorite places is, of course, Chez George, which I almost hate to utter out loud just because it has gotten a lot of press since we started eating there.
Yeah, but the thing about Chez George, the reasons you shouldn't go to Chez George, it's loud. Tables are very close together.
They're touching.
You will be talking to everyone else in your row of tables.
That's fun. They're
essentially touching, yeah.
That's all fun.
You will see food go whirring past your head a million times during the course of the meal.
The waiters will be mean to you. They're nicer than they used to be.
They're definitely nicer than they used to be, but they're only so nice. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot to do. They get it done. They get it done efficiently.
Very efficient servers.
But yeah, there's no fooling around.
Right.
There's always something to drink on the list, but it's really, really hard to read. And what you may want to drink is probably written in the margin in some different colored ink than the rest of the list is written in. The menu is hard to read. No one is going to explain it. So it's literally,
you're going to get roughed up when you go in there.
if you go in as a tenderfoot,
you're not going to make it. You're not going to get out of there alive.
You need to be a pretty seasoned scout of French food to enjoy it the way that you should.
It's also a little hard to find. So it's 1 Rue de Mai is the address.
We had eaten there one time with a friend who is very well traveled, but maybe not the most serious eater, especially of organ meats. And when he heard me order for lunch.
Can we say his name on the radio?
No.
Please.
When I'd ordered lunch, and he heard me say andouillette. Andouillette is a sausage that is essentially like French chitlins. It has a very strong aroma. It is not for the mild or the meek. It is a specialty of the restaurant, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have it with relatively robust red wine, Nuit Saint-Jean, something like that. And he thought I'd ordered andouille, like andouille sausage, you see, from Louisiana.
Oh, my gosh.
And boy, was he terrified when he smelled that dish coming to the table.
Yeah. Did he order it too?
No. He said, "Oh, should I have that also?" I said, "No way."
You're not up to it.
But I think it upset him the entire rest of the time that we were there, that he realized what it was that I was eating.
Yeah. And we ended up talking to the people next to us. They gave us a bottle of wine. I mean, you know, it's a bistro. It's fun.
Yeah. They were
awesome.
Terrific.
Yeah.
They had a Friday date in that restaurant at the same table for 38 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he owned a number of grocery stores around Paris and had retired recently.
That's so nice.
You know,
they were so nice.
Yeah, super nice.
Well, and also I read somewhere recently that Julia Child used to eat there, so that really enamored me to it even more. I love the restaurant. I think the food is amazing. I get salad de lentille, and I always get the rillette because to me it's the best rillette ever. Their bread is amazing, which sometimes, you know, it's not always so great in a restaurant like that. And it's very, very good. And I now get what you like to get, which is the turbo with the béarnaise sauce.
If you don't know what to do when you go in there, there's the turbo grilled on the bone with the béarnaise sauce is a great main course. And great first course there, salad aux frisées à lardon,
mm-hmm.
which is a warm frisée salad with bacon. And
their
poached
salad
egg
is great.
It's great.
Yeah. And their portions are very large. So, you know, they were surprised when I ordered 3 courses, and I'm like, hey, I'm here to eat. But, you can easily get just 2 courses and dessert. Their babo rum is also very good, and they usually have berries in season. They'll have the feuille de bois,
the beautiful wild strawberries. Babo rum, they put a bottle of rum on
your
table.
Yeah, you're going to get drunk eating the babo rum.
There's no question. Yeah, you don't need a digestif after the babo rum for dessert.
That's it. You're done.
They put a bowl of creme fraiche.
And then they bring you a pillow. They have become a little bit more friendly over the years, but we'll still keep you a little bit scared of the place because you should be forewarned a touch.
Be prepared if you're going
to
go.
Well, and then the other place, I'd love to go to La Durée along the Champs-Élysées for breakfast. And it is, oh gosh.
That is a term, tourist explosion. That is the one thing you have to
be
beware.
Prepared. Yeah. And it's, honestly, when they have the outdoor seating, that's what I prefer to do. I don't like to go inside anymore. But, you know, you can just order financier, you know, all these wonderful pastries that they make. Or you could just go in and buy pastry and a coffee and take it on the street with you and sit in a park somewhere. But their pastries are amazing. And, of course, they're famous for their macaroon, which are quite sweet. So you should be aware of that. But the interiors of the restaurant are very, very pretty. And but you can – it depends. If you're there when it's busy, you can be on a huge line. So be aware of that. I tend to go there very early when they first open so that they're not busy. And then I start my walking day from there. So –
I think if it's a matter of giving tips to people as well, besides talking about French culinary heroes, it's such a big piece of the culture. You know what? It's expensive.
It is.
What's cool, very, very different than years ago, you can never see someone's menu or have an idea of what they serve or what pricing was. For goodness sake, do some research ahead
mm-hmm.
of time.
Mm-hmm.
Even a one-star Michelin restaurant is usually going to be pricier than visiting a restaurant, you know, a very top-level restaurant. in the U.S., with very few exceptions besides major cities. So I would say absolutely beware of that kind of thing. But there are things that you, in any of the places that you end up paying for, mostly there's an enormous staff in the very fancy places. One of the biggest things that cuts down from a 3-star to a 2-star to a 1-star is just the layers of staff.
Yeah, you could have 20, 25 people in the kitchen.
And often I've said to people, unless you're very, very, you know, unless you're trying to check 3 stars off your list of places that you have to get to, and there are places, I mean, I know you feel that way about Michel Gérard, but unless you're trying to check people off your list of, I have to be there, I have to see this, I have to, you know, I would love to see Bocuse again, you know, while he's still actually around his restaurant.
I would too.
I'd like to eat the chicken and the pig's bladder again, too.
Oh, goodness. Absolutely. The truffle soup with the pastry on top, because that's the dish he's...
Yeah. It was Gérard Destang, and it's Gustave Destang, who was a president in 76.
76.
That was the year that
he
did
that. The soup. Yeah. The famous dish that's still on his menu.
Which is unbelievably good. Mm-hmm. But you may want to consider, especially if it's a first time going around, the other sort of thing I would tell friends is, find the 1-star that's trying really hard.
Yeah, they're trying to become a 2-star.
Yeah, that your best value a lot of times in regional France is to find these places. There was a place maybe almost 20 years ago in the Loire Valley called Le Bon Laboureur, the Good Worker.
So good.
And near Chambord. And very inexpensive restaurant, excellent cooking, 3 people there. You know, a lot of times those are the places that have some kind of deep commitment and that are very small and that are in very little tiny places, that those are the places where a lot of times you get amazing value and a very personal experience.
Well, and I feel also when you're in the South, it seems to be some of the places are less expensive as well.
Until you get down to the coast, yeah.
Right. So, you know, near Châteauneuf, outside of Châteauneuf, there are a bunch of restaurants that we've gone to many times over the years that I think are very fairly priced.
Yeah, the more, it's a little bit like wine. The more well-known the destination, the more well-known the label, the more well-known the appellation, chances are the more of a market they have and the more you're going to end up paying for it. So when you're in Paris, what is your go-to if you're dining by yourself to drink in restaurants?
Champagne. I do, and I did
ask. That's good advice, because Paris, besides with a limited number of exceptions, either wine bars or 2-3 sort of pet restaurants, for me, there are no great sellers with great values.
Well, and also you can just say Coupe de Champagne, José, or a Blanc de Blanc, and I mean, any great restaurant is going to have an excellent by the glass champagne. So I can just, if that's all I think I want, then I can do that. Or I will buy a bottle, which will take me through the meal. And I mean, I've sat there and shared a glass of wine. When I was at Benoit, there was the man next to me who was, I mean, crammed up next to my table. And I started talking. He was from Canada. And I gave him a glass of my wine because I knew I wasn't going to drink the whole bottle. So, I mean, there's that. But also half bottles. I mean, you taught me that a long time ago. And, maybe you have a course where you feel you really need a specific wine and you don't want a whole bottle. Well, then there's the half. So that's what I started off with at Michel Gérard. I asked the Somme, what half bottles do you have from Bordeaux? Because as you know, I'm not as familiar with Bordeaux. I've been there once with you on a trip, and I prefer the Rhone Valley and Burgundy. And, so I'm not as knowledgeable. So that having him suggest a couple of half bottles was great, and I would just have one half bottle of red, and that way I could have a glass of champagne to start.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think that's reasonable, reasonable advice for travelers in Paris especially. I would say that if there's a big French wine trend to pay attention to, and you can see it, you should be able to see it exercised in any place that has any kind of commitment to quality if you're in Paris, because Paris is an hour away from Champagne, or a little more than an hour away. Grower champagnes, small producers that do very individual work. There's a lot of exciting people doing that.
Thank you.
So, thanks for listening to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Jeff Cindy Wolf.
We'll see you next time.